view of the board up here. Can you see that? You guys see that okay? Paul, can you see that board right there okay? Kathy? No? You guys can't? Huh? Okay. You're messing with me now, aren't you? Yeah, they're messing with me. I know they are. All right. I'm going to transition away from Stephen a little bit today. And, that's a title right there. Today's sermon. Why does PT teach and preach the way he does? So I always put myself on the chopping block once in a while, don't I? I always put myself out there. Hey, where's he going? What's he doing? I have nothing to hide. This is why I do what I do, right? So we'll put it out there for you. Why does Pastor Terry preach teach the way he does? We're going to learn something about that today. Our first stop on that journey there is going to be 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I got that right there. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 4. So I'm just going to ask you, if you don't have a Bible, somebody in your family group hold a Bible today, or a phone, or wherever you've got your scriptures. Pick one up. There's in the pews. Just let me show you what we're doing here. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 4. Some of this is pretty familiar, pretty common. And I'm going to back up just a little bit, like chapter 3, verse 16. I think we have that. I really like those backgrounds, Mark. That's a really nice background. See, you know this scripture, right? All scripture is breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. That's a really common verse. That's a really familiar verse. Let me give you the flow of this. Show you a couple things right here, and then we'll move to that Hebrews chapter 5 and 6 thing. So a key word for me is right here in verse 16, that idea of training in righteousness. All scripture, every bit of scripture is training, good for training in righteousness. That's righteous living in this particular context. You're training for righteousness, righteous living. Living it out, living out your faith. That's what we want. So that's key right there. Training. Training's a key word. So we're in that context here in our church. When you and I gather, when we get together and PT starts preaching, teaching the way he does, doing the things he does, I have this thought in mind, okay? In verse 14, 2 Timothy, same place, verse 14 is really directed toward Timothy, the preacher, the young preacher. Continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. Paul is telling Timothy, you, preacher boy, stay in the Word. Stay right where I've taught you, where your mother and your grandmother taught you. You were taught right. Stay there. From a child you've been acquainted with the sacred writings. That's Old Testament. They're able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Not that Timothy wasn't saved. Timothy was a believer, but they will make you wise for your salvation. And you want wisdom. We're saved. I look across this room, and I've got to believe, and I've got to say to myself, my audience is mostly saved people. I'm going to give you the doubt. Does that mean there's never anyone here who's not saved? No, not at all. But I have to look across this room and say, by and large, you are here every Sunday. You are here to learn. The majority of you, if not most of you, are saved people. What can I do for saved people? Well, I can help make us wise for our salvation. All right? So, sacred writings are able to make you wise for salvation through our faith in Christ. That's what we have. Then the verse. And this is a statement about the Scriptures. So, Timothy, you stay in the Word. Here are the scriptures, the sacred writings. They're able to make you wise for salvation. Here's the scriptures, verse 16. All scripture, old and what's being written at the present time here for Paul, all the scriptures, old and new, they are breathed out or inspired by God, and they're profitable for teaching. I do a lot of teaching. For reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, here's a good word, equipped for every good work. Equipped. So the scriptures train and equip us. So PT is in the scriptures a lot. PT rarely leaves the scriptures, right? Except to apply things. So I go sometimes deep, sometimes long, sometimes from front to back. PT uses the scriptures because training in righteousness, equipping for the works of the ministry, equipping for every good work, it says here, and this part's no fun, reproving, and correcting. But that's part of what we do here. That is part of my ministry, preacher boy. Reprove, you kind of, this is wrong. We convince that this is wrong. This is wrong. That's what reproving is. You state the case and convince that this is wrong. This is evil. This is not good. And then you have to correct it. So instead of doing this, do this. And then we train for righteous living. So all that's part of a pastoral job. Now chapter 4. Here it is. Here's the charge to Pastor Timothy, PT, and Pastor Terry, PT. I charge you. And I'm going to read this like Jesus is writing it, okay? Since this is Scripture, I'm going to read this like Jesus is saying this. Hey, Terry, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, presence in the face of God. God is looking on at us, and I'm charging you. He's to judge the living and the dead. Wow, really? You want me to know that, don't you? I'm going to be judged. He's judging the living and the dead in the face of God. I'm charging you. By his appearing, he's coming back, and his kingdom, and that's what this is all about. Us entering and being a part of, we are the part of the kingdom of God. Jesus preached this all the time. The kingdom is near. The kingdom is near. The kingdom is near. And he's the door. Here's the charge. Preach the word. Preach the word. All the word. All scripture. Sacred writings, old and new. Preach it all. Preach Leviticus. Preach Revelation. Preach Genesis. Preach the prophets. Preach it all. Preach the word, all scripture. All scripture is breathed out by God. Preach it all. Be ready in season and out of season. What's that mean? It means when it's convenient, when it seems right, in season. Well, strawberries are in season. And out of season, when it's not convenient, when it's not felt like it's expected. Where'd that come from? I didn't expect that. Preach that. In season and out of season, when it's convenient, expected, you preach the word. And here he goes again with these same similar thoughts that the scripture is good for. This is why when you preach in season and out of season, reprove, expose or convince the wrong. Solidly. That's what reprove means. Rebuke warning to prevent or restrain. That's no fun, right? I've got to convince you of some wrong, some evil somewhere, and I have to rebuke, which is warn, don't do that, don't do this, stay away from this, stay away from that. And exhort, and we like that, come alongside, help or encourage with patience and teaching. And those two really go together, patient teaching. Patience and teaching. Because growth, strength doesn't come in one sermon. Doesn't come in a month or in a series. So, I patiently, Sunday in, Sunday out, year in, year out, follow this pattern. I follow this. This is what I want to do. So, I do that. For the time is coming, verse 3, when people will not endure sound teaching. Sound teaching. This is hygienic. The word hygienic in the Greek comes from the word hygienic. It's healthy, cleansing, invigorating, good for the body teaching. There's a time coming, he says, and that day's here. If you don't know that or not, today's the day. That time's here. People won't endure healthy, cleansing, sterilizing, antiseptic, building up the body teaching. They won't. The time is here where people don't want to be rebuked or reproved. But I'm going to do it. The time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. They will have a library of books and videos they will click on to go to the preacher that makes them feel good. Good. Oh, that's just nice. Oh, thank you for that. Now, those are church people. Those are not people out there. They think we're nuts. That's us. And what that implies is that the pastor, charged in the face of God, has to preach, teach things that aren't always... Yes. I've got to reprove and rebuke. I've got to convince us that's wrong. What you're hearing is wrong. What that church is doing is wrong, or what they're doing out there is wrong. Stay away, reprove and rebuke. Leave that alone. Stay away from that. Be careful of that. I've got to do that. I've been charged to do that, and it won't always feel good. Sometimes you'll go, ooh, oh man, can't you just preach the cross and kumbaya with me this morning? And Jesus loves you and he forgives everything about... I love to hear that. Oh, Jesus loves you. I love to hear that. Jesus died for you. You're so valuable. But there's a time coming, and that day's here, when churches, those who listen on Sunday morning in church, Wednesday and whenever, Wednesday night, whatever, they don't hear that. Makes you feel a little vulnerable sometimes. Makes you feel a little, you're scaring me. I'm reproving, and I'm rebuking with patient teaching, as much love for you as I have, to warn and protect the sheep from the wolves in sheep's clothing. I have to do that. And so when I do that, and you feel a little bit, and you wish you'd have walked out those doors feeling like a million bucks. But instead, you're a little bit nervous. Man, that's why. That's why. So, unfortunately, it says they will wander off into myths. As for you, PT, be sober-minded, be clear-thinking, endure suffering. Why? Because they're not going to like it. People don't like this today. You're not going to be the favorite guy on the block when you do this. You already know how many times someone has come in here, I don't know them, and I preached something, and I just mashed all over their toes. A lot. It's happened a lot. Because I preach the Word, and I'm not here just to tickle ears, make you feel good. I'm here to reprove and rebuke and encourage and correct and train. Train in righteousness. Train for righteousness. So, you be sober-minded, endure suffering, and here's something you need to know, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill, complete your ministry. So my ministry, and Timothy's, any preacher, my ministry is to train us, to warn you, to correct you, not you, but us, what to stay away from, what's dangerous, what's going on, to train us to live a righteous life in this battlefield. And the other side, do the work of an evangelist. And there's two different things there. Evangelism is winning the lost. That's where the gospel comes in. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Romans chapter 1. So there's a part of me when I'm speaking or living, working in a lost environment, I preach the gospel. I speak the gospel, and I don't want to go a whole lot other places. Although I'll individualize it like Paul did. I'll become a Jew to the Jews and a Roman to the Romans, a Greek to the Greeks. I know who I'm talking to, so I will go through their door to get to the gospel. And so I'm sharing the gospel. But here in a saved, mostly saved, believing, professing group of people, I'm training. I'm guarding. I'm exposing. Correcting. From the scriptures. And all scriptures, because it's all profitable, it's all useful. So that's what I'm doing, and I'm equipping them for every good work. Scriptures will do that, equipping for every good work, training in righteousness. This is my Sunday morning crowd. It's you. Do you want me to treat you like you're all unsaved, or do you want me to treat you like, no, I'm a believer and I have to walk out those doors and face life, and it's going to kick me in the shins about three times today. Yep. And there's a lot going on out there. So we're going to teach the Word, warn, correct, and reprove. Train us. We're in the gym. Greek word, gymnasium, right here. We're in the gym, pumping iron, making strong. Want to be like Jesus. Good? Pretty clear, eh? Turn to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. Don't know who wrote Hebrews. I'll get a little bit deeper for some of you here. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. He's talking to whoever it is he's writing to, these dispersed Jewish people. Don't know who the writer is. Who the author is. But he wants to teach them. He wants to go a little deeper, but he can't. Feels like he can't. He says this, chapter 5, verse 11. About this, what he was just talking about, I have a lot to say. He's like me, I have a lot to say. About this, we have much to say. And it's hard to explain. Now, you know that's true, right? Some of the things I explain are hard. They're hard. They're not easy. I have to labor. It's hard to explain. Since, for these people, they've become dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. Think with me. Dull of hearing. Their hearing's not sharp. Their hearing's not acute. They're not good listeners. Are you with me? They might be good talkers, but they're not good listeners. You know what I'm saying? Not sharp at hearing. Oh, not sharp at listening and parsing it out. And oh, they're not good at that. For though, by this time, you actually should be a teacher. You've had enough time to learn the scriptures, to divide it up, to know what's going on. You should actually be teaching this. But no, you need someone to go back and teach you again the very basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. You've been doing this long enough, you should be teaching. But no, we should really start all over with you and build the foundation again and kind of just go, look, this is what the Christian life is all about. You should be a teacher by now. And he calls those basic principles milk. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. The word of righteousness. So now we have the word of righteousness. We're training in righteousness. We are equipping the scriptures. The word is good for equipping. And now we have the word of righteousness. Okay? So that's why Pastor Terry is just constantly in the Word, constantly teaching and training. And if you go back and you listen to most of my messages, somewhere in my message, if I'm not specifically talking about the cross, I'm going to mention it. There's always going to be a mention of Jesus and the cross and the resurrection. I'm always going to somewhere at least mention that. That's kind of where everything's going to bounce off of. But you should know the basic principles of God. You should know the basic oracles. I'm saying you're saved. Most of you are saved. And I'm saying everybody here knows the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Are you familiar with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Raise your hand. You get that. I know you do. I've talked to most of you. Okay, we're good there. You need milk, not solid food, because you're just immature is what he's about to say. Everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. There you go. He just called him a child. He just called his audience children. But, verse 14, solid food is for the mature. That's what I want. That's what my job is, to help you mature. Help myself. I'm with you. I'm growing with you. But that's what I want. Mature believers. A mature family. That's what I want. And we're all growing. I mean, we got sixth graders and 10th graders and seniors, and we got college. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Spiritually speaking, we've got every age group here. This is a one-room schoolhouse. So we're all maturing at different places, but that is what we want to do. Solid food, that solid scripture, is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Now, here's where I'm going to get a little deeper with you. For those of you who like to go a little bit deeper. So what I've done is I've gone into the Greek and parsed this out for you and written it out literally as it is. I mean, I did all the work. I looked it up, what Greek tense, what word matches what. Is there something there that looks a little bit different to us? And it is a little bit, but our Bible does a really nice job of translating. But look what this says here. Verse 14, solid food is for the mature. It's for the mature ones. Grown-up Christians. Okay, and who are they? Well, it says right here, those who have their, this word right here. See what it says in the Bible? Those who have their powers of discernment trained. They have trained, there's our word again, trained, perceptive sensibilities, discernment. That's what it says in here, discernment. Their powers of discernment trained. Now, what you don't realize from reading this is that this is all one thing. It's a noun. It looks like a verb, trained perceptive sensibilities, trained discernment. We talked about spiritual discernment. I want us to be discerning. I want us to look at this world and this life and each other and discern. I want you to be able to see and have your sensibilities trained from the Word of God. That's where He's at, the solid food, Word of God. I want you to be able to see good from evil. That's what He says, trained to distinguish good from evil. I want you to turn on your TV. I want you to go out in the public. I want you to pick up a magazine, and I want you to be able to read it and go, no. No. That's not good. I want you to be able to see that. I want you to be mature. Mature ones are the ones who have trained perceptive sensibilities. That's a noun. That's what you have. Here's the subject, the ones, they have trained perceptive sensibilities, trained discernment. How did they do this? By constant practice. Now what's weird is that it sounds like that's a verb thing or a participle, but it says they're trained by constant practice, and that's a noun too. So it's really like by routinely. This is routine. It's your discernment is you have this trained discernment. Man, how did you see that? How did you know that? How did you, from the Word of God, routinely? This is just where you're at. All the time. Constantly doing this. Your spiritual being in you, your spiritual life, you are constantly. That's all you do. That's a mature person, he says. By constant practice to discern or distinguish. And the root of this really comes from the word judge. Both. You are able to judge. You are constantly judging, discerning, distinguishing life, righteous living. You are constantly discerning both good and evil. You can't stay on the good. We can't stay there. I'd like to, but I can't. I'm charged in the face of God to reprove and rebuke and correct and train in righteousness, train, help you train your discernment, equipping you in the Word so we'll be mature. Got that? Here's the big hardy. How do we do this? How do I do this? How does Pastor Terry help us, train us, lead us into training? training in righteousness, training our discernment, equipping in the Word. How does Pastor Terry help and do this? Chapter 6, verse 1. Hold your breath right here so you don't gasp. Did he just say that? No, I didn't. Jesus did. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity. Process that. Process that. Terry, leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and train your group for righteousness. Train them for discernment, both good and evil. Equip them in the Word. Leave. You can't just preach. Jesus loves you. He died on the cross for your sins every bit, and He just loves you, and he rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Kumbaya, Debbie. Strike up the band. Kumbaya, kumbaya. Leave it. Leave it. Am I telling you the truth? Read on. Not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. That sounds a lot like salvation. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. Repent from your dead works and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. He's telling us to leave that. Why? Because you're believers. We're in the church. This is a believing group of people. I'm sure there's some here who aren't, but I don't have X-ray vision. I have suspicions. I've watched for your fruit, and I'm having some ideas, but I don't know that. I have to approach this room as a room full of people that somewhere on the journey are believers. So I have to leave. I can't get up here every Sunday and preach to you the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. I will mention it every Sunday. I will mention something about it because I know. I know. It's still good. It's still beautiful. It's still wonderful. It's still encouraging. And there may just be an unsaved person here who needs to hear that. So you are going to hear it. I'm not going to leave it entirely 100%. I'm not. I love the cross. I love the gospel. But quite clearly, it says, leave, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God. You do know that. Everybody here does know that, right? We are to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You do know that. Look what else you're supposed to leave. The instruction about washings. That's not that hard. The Greek word is baptizomai. Baptism. Leave the instruction about the various baptisms and washings. I think they did a good job translating. Because it's more than just baptism. There are many washings and baptisms. Leave that. You don't need to teach this group about baptism. When your picnic's coming up and you've got some people that haven't been baptized, preach a little bit on it, but they don't need to hear about it every Sunday. Leave it. Leave the instruction about washings, the laying on of hands. Now, in case you're not sure what that is, I will just read something to you real quick. Not even going to give you the reference yet. Now, when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. They heard the word of God, believed, and was baptized. But at that point in the church, the Holy Spirit was given by the apostles, laying on of their hands and praying for them so that everybody could see the Holy Spirit had come and was doing things and was alive. And so the laying on of hands was for commissioning to ministry, for dedication, for receiving the Holy Spirit. But not every time in Acts, later on in Acts, they would just receive the Holy Spirit when they believed. They believed and all of a sudden they started speaking in tongues and they received the Holy Spirit. Nobody laid hands on them. So we're to leave this whole idea of the apostles laying on of hands, commissioning, and receiving the Holy Spirit, and whatever else they did, we're to leave that. We now know, you know, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are saved and the Holy Spirit comes into you and you become His. He is the seal of who you are in Christ. I don't have to lay hands on you. Jesus will lay His hands on you. Leave that and leave the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. Really. I think you've just pretty much gutted everything we love and hold dear and cherish. Repentance and faith, baptism, laying on of hands, the resurrection from the dead, and eternal judgment, heaven and hell. Leave that. You with me? I'm just reading Scripture to you. Terry, you don't need to preach that down their throat every Sunday. They know that, Terry. Start training them for righteous living. All Scripture's good for that. Start correcting and reproving, warning them, stay away from this, stay away from that, be careful, do it this way, go this way, keep your eyes on this, go here. Train them for righteous living. Equip them in the Word. Train, help them train their discernment through the Word, train them, and start preaching the whole Word of God, the whole counsel of God, from cover to cover, applying it to righteous living, that the man or woman of God might be perfect, complete, for every good work. And so that's what I do. Verse 3 is quite right. And this we will do if God permits. God willing. Yep. God willing, boy, we're going to do that. And Lord knows we have some, and there are churches everywhere, and probably some here. You just wish I'd just preach about Jesus, don't you? You just wish I'd just preach to you the beauty of the resurrection. Oh, Easter's coming up. Woo! Jesus rose from the dead. You're victorious. You win. It's all good. Nobody's going to hurt you. But I also know there's a bunch of you struggling and hurting and been kicked and beat around a little bit. And life is it's tough sometimes. So you need to go to the gym and be trained. Trained to live righteously in that gymnasium out there. There's a lot of other training that goes on. Later on in Hebrews, he'd tell you that God disciplines you. It's for training. He's training you to be holy. And not all training feels good, he says. It's some of it's painful. So even God trains you and me with difficulty, with struggle. He takes us to the gym until our muscles ache and we're breathing hard, trying to catch our breath. God does it. In Ephesians chapter 4, It's made quite clear. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists, and here's PT, shepherds and teachers. It's kind of one word, really. Pastors, teachers. You shepherd and you teach. You don't just teach, but you shepherd. You teach and you reprove and rebuke the sheep. You keep the sheep. Get away from that. That's evil. That'll hurt you. Stay away from that wolf. Get over here. You shepherd and teach. That's what you do. He gave those shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain a unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. To what? Mature manhood. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, no longer children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, and by what? Human cunning and craftiness in deceitful schemes. So part of my job then, right, clearly, just right after the apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastor, teacher, you equip your people for the work of the ministry to help them mature, because Jesus, when you are exactly like Jesus, when you stand in front of a mirror and you look exactly like Jesus, then we'll stop. I'm going to be way behind you. I'm not going to get there anytime soon. Are you with me? But that's our goal. So we'll stop when we get there, so that we're no longer children, but we're mature, not pushed around by every weird doctrine, teaching that churches come out with, where they get these, I don't know, or by human cunning and deceit, because they've got a plan too, and quite honestly, they have a leader. And he's got a plan called a scheme. And so, pastor, teacher, equip your people. Equip them to mature once again for righteous living. Train them for righteous living. Train them to be able to discern both good and evil by leaving faith and repentance, the resurrection, eternal judgment, the laying on of hands, which would include the receiving of the Holy Spirit. So what am I going to do? Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, we leave. I am not going to preach every Sunday morning to you the gospel. We're gonna talk about it. It's the power of God under salvation, but I'm looking at a mostly believing group of people. We're not going to leave it entirely. It's beautiful. It's amazing. It's the heart of who we are. It's the cross, the blood, the resurrection. We're not going to leave that entirely. But I have no plans to get up here every Sunday morning and try and win you to Christ. What I do know is we're all going to walk out that door, and we need our discerning sensibilities trained. We need trained in righteous living. So do what? I mean, what do I do? Do what? I teach the Word. I teach the Word. Sometimes I preach. More often I teach. There's a difference. I apply it to current situations. I apply it to our life. It's just not good enough for me to give you information. I have to use examples from our life. Reprove, rebuke, correct, instruction, righteous living. You know what the question I get? More than any question when somebody's talking to me about the Bible, do you know what I'm asked? I say, hey, did you read John chapter 7? Yeah. But what's that have to do with me? I didn't understand. What's that have to do with us? All the time. You go to a Bible study and you read those scriptures. And okay, what do you have? What'd you learn from that? Well, I really wasn't sure. How's that apply to me? What's that have to do with us? That was nice. That was Jesus doing something cool. Woohoo! I didn't get a lot out of that.
Really?
And I can talk for 3 hours on that and explain it to you and train you how that applies to life. It's not that you can't read the Word or don't know what it said. It's the application of it that's so hard for many believers. How do I use that? What's that have to do with us in 2022? Laying on of hands, washings. What's that have to do with me? Well, it's baptisms in its primary sense. But a lot of things I could spend that. And just like this Hebrew writer said, man, there's so much I want to say about this, but I can't because you can't hear well. You're not sharp. So we're going to train you. Leave, leave, leave. Leave Kumbaya land and start talking about righteous living in this day that you live in. Are you with me? So we're going to teach the Word. I'm going to apply it to current situations so that we can judge things to be both good or evil. Equipping you, training, helping. I can only help. Okay, let's use an example. Let's use an example. Let me show you an example. Colossians chapter 3. Easy one. Easy one. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Right after Philippians. Book of Colossians. So amazing. There it is. Thank you, Mark. Love that background. Love that background. That is so cool. Orange and green. That's awesome. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 5. I don't even need to start. I don't even need to read this whole section. Let's just look. Put to death. That's pretty severe, right? That means end. That means none, right? Zero, none, dead, dead, dead. We just went to a funeral viewing this weekend. We know what dead looks like. Dead. Put to death. Nada. What's earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion. Okay, stop. We don't really need to go any farther. So think about it this way. I have to help train you. Righteous living, discerning both good and evil, equipping with the Word. So we can put to death sexual immorality. Tell me, what is sexual immorality these days? Because I can walk about 2 seconds and find a church with a rainbow flag. So is it your church or that church? What is sexual immorality these days, by the way? Are they right or are we? One's good and one's evil. And you've got to discern that, right? You've got to discern what's good and what's evil. And now, actually, we are more the minority probably than the majority of churches. What's going on? Have we been left behind? Are we crazy? That's a problem, isn't it? You go out there and try doing this on the internet, on your Twitter account, see if you don't get some comments or maybe even canceled. It's not the same as it was. Sexual immorality is not what it was when I was in high school or later. Now the government, California, says we're not even going to assign a gender to that kid until he's old enough to figure out what he wants to be. Is that sexual immorality? Yeah. Is pornography sexual immorality? Yes. Why? Why is that? All I'm doing is looking at a picture. Because Jesus said, if you look on another woman to lust, you've already done it in your heart. You've enjoyed that picture with your eyes, and you've actually done it in your heart, Jesus said. Pornography is evil in any sense. You enjoy another man or a woman with your eyes like that, you've done it. You've cheated. What is sexual immorality these days? The transgender swimmer, girl swimmer, who's probably about to win the NCAA women's title, is a man. Is a man. I guess. The age-old sexual immorality needs a little discernment these days, because there are churches all over the streets of Goshen, colleges down the street, Goshen College, everywhere telling you, no, that's not sexual immorality anymore. I don't even have to go anywhere in here to say, where does the church need trained in righteous living? Where does the church need discernment trained? For me to just say, no, our church, they know that. I can't. They are constantly bombarding the principles of righteous living, of God's ordained righteous living. They are constantly attacking it. And I know. Sometimes I have to stop and think and go, wait a minute, okay. So I'm gonna study that one more time, because that almost sounds good, but I don't think it is. So just that simple, and I'm not even gonna read the rest of this. I'm gonna keep teaching the Word of God. I'm gonna keep applying it to our life and our situation. I'm going to name names and talk about events and things and people, because we are being attacked. We have to know. We've got to talk about it. And it's not always going to feel like that. But it is going to train us. It's going to help our discerning sensibilities. Might unnerve you a little bit. I get that. Me too. Don't think I haven't. I've studied so long and hard and dug so deep to sort these issues out before I ever come to you. I'm telling you, there's a lot going on out there. And kumbaya ain't going to happen. Kumbaya, we're going to have our kumbaya moments. Every Sunday, you're going to hear about Jesus and the cross and the resurrection. You did today. Easter, Debbie's got something spectacular, the greatest show on earth. She's doing it. It's just going to blow your mind away. We're going to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ in a big way. We're still going to have invitations once in a while. But my job, I've been charged in the face of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to train us for righteous living in that cesspool we call America and the world. Discern. Spiritual discernment. 1 John chapter 4, test the spirits whether they're from God. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. That's why Pastor Terry teaches and preaches the way he does. I love the cross. I love the cross. The cross is everything to me. The resurrection, everything to me. His forgiveness, everything to me. He turned this filthy sinner around. And there is no credit, not a drop, not a cent, not a whiff, not a puff of smoke. There's not a drop of credit that's mine. It's all His. He saved me entirely. I love Jesus and the cross and the resurrection. I love it. I love the Holy Spirit. I couldn't function a day without the Holy Spirit. But now I've got to live it out. Now I've got to live it out. And man, they are trying to confuse you. And there's churches upon churches upon churches upon churches who have no righteous living, no power to discern, or they are just plain not His, and they are going the devil's path. Not us. Not as long as you let me be your pastor teacher. We will not. And I don't care what they do to me. I don't care what they do to me. I quite honestly think we're small and insignificant enough, they really don't care. But should that day happen, I don't care. I don't care. We're going to preach the Word of God. Lord, thank You for this day. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your goodness. We want to mature. We don't want to remain children. We want to grow. We want to grow to be like Christ, the truth teller. Lord, He came to declare truth. Pilate said, "What is truth?" And they killed Him for declaring the truth. But You win. You win. So we will declare the truth. Live righteously for You. Share the gospel when necessary. But we will grow if God permits.